This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, happy early afternoon, everybody. Yes, we are on a little early, too, this Friday. Gosh, it's already, what's the date today? The 24th of July? Man, it's flying by, Hunter.
Well, you know, it was only 20 days ago was the 250th birthday of the United States of America.
That's already been 20 days. That seems like a long time ago. Anyways, this special segment is being brought to you by Mercedes Sprinter Van of Salem, right down there on Commercial Street. Eli and Brian have the rig for you. There's plenty. There's some different colors, different styles, and they got everything you need. So cruise on down there if you are in the need, business, pleasure, whatever.
Okay, so Independence Day was 20 days ago. You think today they're going to make this a holiday as LeBron's final decision?
Well, especially when he just announced earlier this morning, that he's going to the Sixers. So he's going to Philly.
He's going to Philly. They've added a few big points, and he's doing, it's ironic because they're really covering this as, you know, this is some huge, huge, unprecedented maneuver. And I'm going, this is the way basketball has always been. Players reaching the end of their career. So the last few years, Clyde Drexler did it. I think Karl Malone even did it. You know, a lot of superstars, as they're reaching the end of their careers, they go and they sign a smaller contract to a team that's already built to win, with the idea that they're going to kind of cement their legacy with one or two final championship rings.
You know, it's going to be interesting with Philadelphia because, what, they just got Jaylen Brown and they got some others. And these guys all want to play. They all want to be the big dog. And so now you got LeBron coming in here. So how is that going to play out?
So that'll be the big question, because what do we know about LeBron in his long career so far? He's always had to be the focal point. Will he still need to be the focal point on a team like Philadelphia? I don't know. Money wise, he only signed for a 2-year contract for $8 million.
For the whole thing.
So $4 million a year. So on the pay scale, he's fourth or fifth in the pecking order. But this is LeBron. And LeBron, for joining this team, and is he going to be a role player? What's his role going to be? I mean, he's over 40 years old now, right? Or
yes.
Around 40.
Yeah, no, he is.
Okay. So what's the role going to be? At the league level, his role is still the number one guy. There were rumblings earlier this week coming out of the NBA offices that they need LeBron to make a decision for television scheduling, because TV wants no, ESPN wants no. You know, we know LeBron is ESPN's golden boy. So we have networks and the league sitting there going, make a decision so we can schedule your games for TV.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how one guy can basically run the entire NBA and how they do everything and what's all involved there. So here, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So he's only getting $4 million a year. What else do you think that he negotiated? And I have an idea.
Okay.
How many jerseys do you think LeBron's going to sell in a new Philly uni?
Oh, he's going to sell a ton.
So I can guarantee you he's getting a percentage of that, mm-hmm. and he's getting a percentage. I mean, they're probably going to have a, you know, end of LeBron's career, you know, cup.
Celebration.
Yeah, there's going to be a cup that you can buy, a little mm-hmm. extra, so he's going to get some of that. Maybe he's going to have a LeBron hot dog, you know, in the concession stand. Maybe he's going to have some licorice. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, all that stuff, you know that yeah. they've negotiated. This isn't just about his salary. This is about everything.
Well, and that's the thing is LeBron made over $50 million from the Lakers last year. So it's not about the money. It's about the legacy and cementing himself as, in his own mind, the greatest of all time.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, if ESPN's concerned about putting all the games of LeBron on TV, don't think that he's not going to get a cut of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's negotiating everything. The guy's not dumb. I mean, he's really, Michael Jordan is the one who set all this stuff up for everybody in the NBA.
Yeah.
He started everything. And you could just, even Charles Barkley said it.
Yep.
It's just like, oh, well, Jordan wants me to do this and just take this and take some stock in Nike and I'm going to go with Michael.
Yeah.
Because he knows what he's talking about. He's a smart guy.
Because $1 million up front is a lot less than the $10 million you're going to make over time.
Or more.
Uh-huh.
Way more.
So, that's the kicker. The other element of this contract is there is a third-year player option. So it comes down to he plays his 2 years in Philadelphia. If he decides at, what, 44, 45 years old that he wants to keep playing, he has the option to sit there and say, yeah, you're going to pay me for one more year. And I'll kind of guess that it's probably more than the $4 million for the first 2 years.
You know, the guy, let's just be honest, he's a specimen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nobody else that has even come close to playing this long in the NBA at his level.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing we got to kind of look at. Historically, if you look at NBA players, you have smaller guys that play long careers. You had big, you know, LeBron size and bigger guys that had short careers but made a huge difference. Shaq is a huge example. Biggest guy probably they've ever seen come in there. And yet his career, because of his size, LeBron is a combination. He's got the moves of the little guys, especially in his younger years, but he has the size of the bigger guys and the longevity. And that's, and that, I'm not going to sit there and say that LeBron isn't one of the top 10 players of all time. I don't consider him the GOAT because longevity is a huge difference compared to stardom. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jordan changed the game. LeBron has played the game for decades. It goes to, I'm trying to think, it might have been Jeff Bagwell. Who was it? Who said something? There was a baseball player. And he was a, it wasn't Bagwell. It wasn't a Hall of Fame caliber player. I think it might've been Will Clark, who he's asked about. He had a couple of great years hit wise, and he was asked about chasing Pete Rose's hits record. And he goes, let's look at it logically. If I had 200 hits for 20 years, I'm still short of Pete Rose's record.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that guy was a player.
Mm-hmm.
And for him just to get worked like he did, you know, it's very unfortunate, especially yeah. in lieu of everything that's been going on these last few years with DraftKings and all these other things and all the big money. It's really unfortunate because he was probably one of the best players that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little more later, because I think that there's going to be some changes at the league level in terms of these players that have been banned. There's a lot of talk going on about that. But let's stick on basketball for a minute, because the other thing is the Portland Trail Blazers this week, a few weeks ago, they laid off 70 office employees. Okay. Operations.
People. But didn't they lay people off like like when they first purchased the Blazers?
Well, shortly after.
Yeah.
So before
it was
before,
like 60 or something.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on right now when it comes to the Blazers on whether they're, and I'm sitting here going, everything I see, they are gone. So this week they announced that they laid off most of their on-air, Holton, Everett's, Neil Everett's is gone. And then Kevin Calabro, they offered him a contract well below what he had been earning, and he has turned it down. He will not be back next year. And Demers, Travis Demers, their radio guy, he, same thing from my understanding, is he was offered a low-ball contract, and he's gone. So their whole on-air broadcast team is going to be all new next year.
So much for longevity. I mean, well, not that there was any to begin with.
Yeah, and these are all the signs. And it's similar. I watched it happen in Seattle with the Sonics, and I kind of sit here and go, it's faster with the Blazers than it was with the Sonics. It was a little more drawn out process. But between Portland's new ownership refusing to partake in financial responsibility for the Moda Center, the city of Portland going very back and forth and not being 100% for it, the other financial struggles of Portland right now, I'm sitting here going, they're trying to put forth the atmosphere of Portland is no longer a viable basketball city, and they're going to pack their bags and they're going to move probably to a Carolina.
And I agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
It is not.
It is not.
It is not. These people up there are wacko.
Yep. So, the NBA, as we said, has put up the roadblocks of moving to Seattle or moving to Las Vegas.
Seattle's not much better. I mean, if we're talking, apples to apples
and that,
here.
And that was the thing is right after meeting with the governor of Oregon, the NBA announced that they're looking at two expansion teams, one in Seattle, one in Vegas.
Well, if it's going to be in Seattle, I don't think it's going to be in the city of Seattle. It will be in the outskirts somewhere. So it could actually make some money.
Yeah, that has actually been a big topic of conversation. I believe that the group in Seattle that has been looking to get the NBA back is actually found land in Bellevue on the east
side.
And
that's perfect.
Yep.
That's a perfect spot for it.
Well, that's not
It's clean.
Too, well, and it's not too far from the Microsoft facilities, not too far from Nintendo, not too far from a lot of big high-tech business in that east side of the Seattle area.
It's very interesting. But I think that's what's going to start happening, though. The big cities that just have a ton of taxes that they just implement, especially on the payroll side of things, people are, they're not doing business there anymore. Mm-hmm. That's just going to start happening. And it is what it is. By the way, since we're still on basketball, Hunter, we got a huge thing going on this weekend, and it started a couple of days ago. Hoopla!
Hoopla!
Is down there. Jason Unruh's putting this thing on, and I don't know how many years they're doing it. I think this is like 25 years that they've had this thing downtown.
Years.
And boy, what a showing they have. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the competition, I mean, these guys, they get it on. It's a big deal. They got three-point contests.
They had the
three-on-threes, two-on-two
tournament yesterday. I think they crowned a men's and women's winners. I kind of saw that stuff on social media. The three-on-three tournament stuff at all ages, from little to our age, they're I believe tipping off starting tomorrow, maybe even today for some of that stuff.
I think so there's a lot of hoops all over the place downtown, so I mean, yeah, you might want to divert yourself.
Might be some road closures.
There could be, and parking could be an issue, so be prepared to walk, bring a chair,
just don't be that guy driving through the courts.
No, it's a lot of fun. I mean, if you haven't been down to Hoopla, you really got to take it all in, because it's a huge event, and again, Jason's done a phenomenal job putting that whole thing together for years. Mm-hmm. So good stuff. So anyhow, let's get out to a break, Hunter. Sports Ticket, Friday afternoon, right here on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
Well, if you're heading down to Hoopla here in a short while, you might want to just cruise by Domino's and pick one of those bad boys up. It's perfect. Get some napkins. Well, it comes in a box.
Well, I would sit here and say, if you are at Hoopla and you've got some players out there, maybe it's you, maybe it's a relative. If you're leaving Hoopla, that might be a better time to go to Domino's, because you're going to actually probably buy three or four pizzas, because they're going to be hungry.
They are going to be, or maybe they'll deliver to Hoopla. We just don't know. It's maybe it might be based on per location in that category, whoever zone that is. I'm not sure.
I have actually seen people in the past, because my kids both played in Hoopla when they were younger, and I've actually seen people watching for the delivery guy and have pizzas delivered street side.
Uber Eats, man. They're coming to a street near you.
That's right. Well, and of course, with Domino's, there's not one too far from downtown.
There's not. No, not at all. I think it's Silverton Road, actually, is probably the closest one from right there.
So if you've got a runner.
Yeah, that's right. That's great. All right. What are we talking about?
You touched a little bit about Pete Rose and him not being eligible for the Hall of Fame. He's now deceased, of course. He passed away, about a year or so ago?
Yeah, maybe a couple years.
The all-time hit king. His career says Hall of Fame, but because of his ban from baseball for gambling, he has not been eligible. But of late, there have been rumblings in Major League Baseball's front office about lifting the lifetime ban on, especially on these players, Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, as primary examples, who have been passed away now, lifting those bans so that they can at least be a part of the Hall of Fame because they belong there.
You know, they do. It's unfortunate that these things from outside sources come in and play a role. Mm-hmm. And gambling's always been an issue. I mean, seriously. I mean, the mob has been involved in everything all over the place.
Well, you start with the simplest aspects. One, professional sports have embraced the gambling side of things very much in the recent years. Two, the Hall of Fame, no matter what sport you're talking about, it's a reward for your performance as an athlete. And you can factor in personality and other things into it, but for those to be the defining factor are challenging. And I sit here and you can look through the history of time and go through that Hall of Fame and see that there were racists are plaguing those halls. You know, players that never played against the best black players in history because they played at a time of segregation in baseball. You have people like Ty Cobb, who every reference, he was the biggest jerk to ever play the game, but yet he's in the Hall of Fame. There's other players there that, you know, maybe they're not directly linked to steroids, but you can see there, you know, these things might have played a role. During the 80s, cocaine was a huge factor in baseball. Well, the Mets, Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden
too.
You know, you go, do we know every player in there was clean of all sin? No, these are human beings. They all have their faults, and you need to figure out where that line is. And right now, the only two lines for a Hall of Fame induction are, one, a direct connection to steroids with no remorse, because there's players that are in there or on the cusp that may be linked to steroids, but were able to kind of sit there and say, I apologize. I shouldn't have done this. I stopped, you know, have an excuse for it. The thing holding the Bonds and the Clemens out is they haven't come out with that public, you know, I was the bad guy for doing this.
You know, I'm probably going to get some guff for saying this, but it's just like, if you want to do steroids, go ahead. I mean, really, it's going to affect your body and you're not going to live very long. So, I mean, if you choose, see, here's the thing. I mean, players didn't used to get a lot of money like they do now. I mean, it's really, really gone crazy how much money in every sport there is.
Yeah.
So if you want to have, like Lyle Alzado, for example, I mean, that dude was on Roy. I mean, he had a brain tumor and everything else. I mean, you're taking a big fat risk.
Well, there's the other aspects of it, because if you go back to the 90s, the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home
run. We all loved that, though, Hunter. We loved it. We wanted to see those guys hit it out. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to that year. Because there are interviews with Mark McGwire standing in front of his locker where you can see the Andro and the other supplements sitting there on the shelf, and Major League Baseball was 100% for it. Because why? They were making cash hand over fist from the excitement of that thing. A couple of years later, all of those things are banned, and now these players are all the bad guys.
So why did that happen? I mean, maybe we should dissect that. Is it because they were getting a bunch of flack because of all of these things, or did it trickle itself down into like the high school football, baseball, and all those things? Now you got kids that say, oh, hey, this is okay, and it's probably affecting the younger
kids. I can point to players at the high school level, football field in particular. Baseball was less so. Baseball, it didn't take long to learn a lesson. Mo Vaughn was the greatest lesson about steroid use in baseball. Because when the guy signed a big contract to play for the New York Mets, and then he got hurt, and he was gone for a year or so, right? Rehabbing and getting healthy. During that time, he was juicing up big time, came back, and couldn't hit the baseball. Why? Because you not only need strength, but you also need flexibility in those muscles. The steroids created so much strength that he lost flexibility and he could no longer swing the bat effectively because he was so overly juiced.
Okay? There's always that.
So, you know, high school, there were always rumors of kids being on the football field, being a little juiced up and other little tricks and things. But anything to get a competitive advantage. But I sit here and go, the problem with baseball is this. Baseball has always been an ebb and flow kind of scenario where for a period of time, they have a very tight baseball. They have high pitching mounds and the pitchers dominate. And then as fans kind of grow weary of that, they lower the mound. They loosen the ball up a little bit to give it some pop. They allow a little less restrictions on the bats and this and that. Now, all of a sudden, you have this power surge. Until it gets so overwhelming, which is what happened in the 90s, the power surge between Bonds and McGwire and Sosa and others got so intense that now they had to swing it back the other way and create ways for the pitchers to have more of an advantage. And now we're swinging back into that power. I mean, you look at Major League Baseball today and everything is about the home run. There's very little small ball. I sit here and I watch the All-Star game, okay? You have 40 home run hitters leading off. I go, if you were to take Ricky Henderson and pop him into today's game, he would be a number 9 hitter, not a number 1 hitter. Why? Because they don't value the get on base and steal the bases the way they used to, you know, when the pitchers had a little more of an advantage.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case or would have been with Ricky, because Ricky got on base all the time. And so why would you not have him bat first and then bring up your home run hitters? Because that's an added run for you if he's going to hit it out.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. Here it is right here. every spot in the batting order, on average, is about 10 at-bats a year. Okay? So if the number one guy in your lineup is getting 700 plate appearances, the number two guy is only getting about 675. And if you drop it down, the more at-bats you get, it used to be the best hitter on your team always hit third.
Or fourth.
But he got less at-bats than the number one guy. So why wouldn't you put him at the number one spot where he can make a difference more often, where he might be that guy that comes up in a clutch situation in the bottom of the ninth inning compared to a light hitting on base kind of guy?
Well, maybe that's why Cal Raleigh is going down the batting order right now, because, and maybe they switched up his bat because he's not hitting any home runs, although he did have a grand slam the other night. But I mean, since the All-Star break, you know, he's only had that one hit.
It's the strategy and the analytics of Major League Baseball right now that it's trying to capitalize on every odd you possibly can. And that's where we're seeing such a different shift in mindset now. And that was my thought. It's like a guy like Ichiro, a guy like Ricky, they're getting on base and they're causing havoc, but they can do that from the number nine spot, especially if you got a 40 home run hitter batting first.
You know, it's weird how you mentioned that everything always changes. I mean, yeah, okay, we're going to get this maybe for a couple, 3 years, and then all of a sudden we're going to go back to small ball a little bit because the bats aren't going to be as juiced. Or, you know, maybe the pitchers start having an advantage and you're going to have to play small ball. You got to get guys on. You got to steal bases, and that's how you're going to score runs and just get some base hits. So, you know, who knows? It's amazing to me that you can manipulate things like that.
It takes us all the way back around to the gambling argument for guys like Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson. Both of them were banned from baseball through the gambling aspect. Pete Rose did it to himself. Shoeless Joe Jackson accepted money. Chicago, 1919. Who runs that city?
Exactly.
It would be
Al Capone.
I would sit here and kind of say, realistically, if you're Shoeless Joe Jackson and a mafia guy walks up to you and says, throw the World Series and we'll pay you, you accept that money because you might not make it to the 1920 season if you don't.
Seriously.
And I sit here and kind of go, the guy didn't, if you look at his play on the field during that series, he hit like 380. He did nothing that would cost his team even a game. And yet, because he accepted the money, he got banned. So I'm actually for the idea of let's lift the suspension at least enough to get these guys in the Hall of Fame because they belong there.
100%.
Especially now that we have fully embraced gambling at professional sports levels.
In every aspect of it, you can bet on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. It doesn't even matter.
And some of that money through sponsorships is coming back to pro sports.
And yeah,
DraftKings, FanDuel, Kelsey, I don't know which ones are advertising and handing money over to
100%.
Pro sports.
Yeah, and that's probably how it all got started. It's always follow the money. That's all you got to do. All right, we're taking a break. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
Welcome back. An early afternoon for us, Hunter. And yeah, that was a long segment based on gambling. We went all over the board there. Maybe, man, I'm sweating right now. Maybe I need some waterproof flooring from Color Tile. He's slipping all over the place.
Are you sweating enough? You're drinking lots of water, taking it down so fast you're spilling it. You need waterproof flooring?
Yeah, it's all over me. I have a drinking problem.
Maybe Well, and with these nice carpets in here, they probably aren't sucking it up the way they once did.
Well, I don't know. They're probably leaking through the floor. Anyways, that's not a dig on our property manager. It is what it is.
Well, yeah, that's right.
You know, buildings, they get old, and it is what, you know.
But that's all the more reason. If your floors are getting old, head on down to Color Tile.
Yeah, if you have the means and... They have the flooring. That's the place to go. And if you're going to do carpet and the other stuff, they got everything. Tile, all of it. Go see Dave Lee. I know they've got a little celebration going on over there.
All right.
Still.
So far today, I think the theme of the show has been follow the money. Whether it's gambling, whether it's steroids, whether it's LeBron going to Philadelphia, it's all about follow the money. Show me the money,
You know, it is. And it's no different in college sports. I mean, football has just taken this to another level just on everything that they've done over the past few years. I mean, you have the portal. It's like there's no rules. And then you have the NIL, which actually started it all off. The name, image, likeness, and, you know, players getting paid. And I have nothing wrong. I think they should get paid because the NCAA they've made a buttload of money off of all of these players, all of these games and everything else. And it was originally set up to be to good. I mean, you've got to have a governing board.
Yeah,
you have to. And they have just let this thing run amok. And now the government is going to possibly get involved. I mean, they've got the Protect College Sports Act of 2026, which they're not going to vote on until they go into recess.
Yeah.
But something has to happen. There's got to be some kind of law or regulation on this thing.
And right now, I think the challenge is that the power that especially Power Four conference schools have right now is so strong and so large that the NCAA as a governing board doesn't feel they have the power to go against them and is more worried about if they do anything, they create rules or regulations that they're just going to be swamped with lawsuits.
And now you've got the SEC threatening to leave the NCAA. And I think if they do that, because they are the power conference. I mean, they have a ton of money down there, Southeast, and that's where all the big dogs are.
Well, you can imagine if SEC were to walk, the Big Ten would follow very quickly.
100%.
Then the Big 12, then the ACC, and all of a sudden college football is second tier.
And then you've got probably tier two being all of those mid-major conferences. And so here we are again.
Yeah, the group of six.
That's exactly right.
Yep. And I just sit here and go, the whole thing would collapse under its own weight at that point because it would become, we already say, it is a multi-tiered system as it stands today, but it would become even more so, potentially to the point where you're talking about those Power Four conferences being trying to create an on par with the NFL. I could see that happen. The SEC is big enough, strong enough, and powerful enough that they could kind of almost create that kind of an element.
Well, don't think that they're not all talking together right now. I mean, SEC is the one, they're the ones that they strong-armed. They just threw it out there. And these other guys, they're talking. They've been thinking about this for a while.
It's pretty darn easy when you look at the way they have set up the college football playoffs after the few years of some missteps. And we can say there were big mistakes.
Big time.
In the way this thing was set up initially, but now they've created a scenario where Notre Dame, no matter what, is guaranteed a spot as long as they are a top, 10 team, top 12 team?
I think it's top 12.
Yeah. So top 12 team is guaranteed a spot. The Power Four conferences have guaranteed themselves as many spots as they can get in this thing. I think only one, maybe two spots are held out for, you know, power or group of six college level teams.
Well, and you know what? I think that's right because Liberty got in 2 years ago and then you had James Madison get in, just get throttled.
Yep.
And so realistically, they're right. I mean, the lower conference or, you know, lower conferences may not think that it's fair, but it's not about being fair. It's about getting in the best teams who are going to make this thing as competitive as possible.
Okay, so virtually what is happening at the federal level with the Protect College Sports Act is the NCAA has been lobbying for help because, like I said, I think they're afraid to push back.
100%.
And so it's a bill put together that they're saying the earliest vote would be in early August, but it also creates a very small window to get this through before the November midterms. Sorry, this would put in things like it would create almost a salary cap kind of a thing. It would create transfer rules and eligibility limits in college sports.
Well, in addition to that, I mean, they're not going to be subject to different laws in different states too, because we talked about this in the professional side of things. If you go and play a game in another state, you're paying their taxes and even their city taxes, wherever the heck that thing is. So you have to eliminate all that crap. This is ridiculous. Well, even on the pro side of things, I think it needs to be done.
Well, and that's, and how much will the taxes factor into things in college sports and making decisions? I mean, you can look at it and say, is a player from Michigan going to second guess, do I really want to be at Michigan? Because we're going to have to go play in Oregon during my career, and Oregon's going to tax me to death.
Well, it's not only that. So they've got conference realignment you know, statements in there too, where, you know, they're going to have provisions that are designed to discourage or limit additional realignment among the major conferences to prevent breakaway and super leagues. I mean, that's what the government's starting to get involved in. And that's exactly where this thing has been going.
Yes.
So maybe the NCAA has gone to the government saying, we need to, we need to get rid of this because this is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, we need, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, the NCAA realizes where the power shift has gone and is now gone to the federal government to say, hey, please help us rein this thing in before it collapses.
And, you know, they all conferences have their own TV network, which is, it's all about, again, the money, because they've received so much money, which gives them the power because they can take away. It's like we were talking about, you know, okay, who's the network that's going to run all these games? I mean, you're going to have Prime, you're going to have Peacock and all these other streaming things. And is ABC, NBC, are they going to be thrown out the window? Even ESPN possibly, even though ESPN, I'm sure, has, you know, their power within all of these streaming apps as well. So everything's changing. And then,
well, see, that
is cable going to go away? Because you have to have just internet. It's all going to be just streaming networks now.
Most of TV is streaming at this point. But that actually brings around an announcement coming out today. There was a basketball game scheduled for December between Duke and Michigan. Huge game, huge rematch. They were going to play this game originally at Madison Square Garden. That's how big this game is going to be. But it all came down and it's collapsed. They've now announced that this game will not happen. They've rescheduled things because of TV broadcast rights. Duke has a deal in place that Prime would be the location where certain games would be broadcast, this being one of them. But I'm assuming between Michigan and Madison Square Garden, there's also the Big Ten Network or ESPN or something else that probably controls some broadcasting rights in that realm. So they couldn't reach an agreement on how this was going to be broadcast, and that canceled a high visibility basketball game.
You know, everybody's vying for a position.
It's all about the money,
it's
baby.
It's all about the money. But I did read something too that, you know, this thing is looking to pass the Senate, but the House, I don't think it's going to fly. So, I mean, really, this is just the start, and there's going to be other things that are going to come up that are going to have to be talked about, discussed, and come to an agreement on. So this is going to be a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We'll keep you posted.
We will. All right. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be back after this.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
Welcome back, Sports Ticket. This segment being proudly sponsored by Bowen Vine Burger Bar down there on Commercial Street. Best burger, in my opinion, in Salem.
I saw them out at the Marion County Fair.
The line was so long.
And I knew that's where I had to have lunch.
It's really good. Yeah, they got all those sauces. Fries are phenomenal. I've heard that I use that word a lot. Phenomenal. I mean, I think it's a good word.
Well, it is a good word, and it's good that your outlook of life is so phenomenal. especially when it comes to, of course, you know, our special time today, because the Mariners broadcast comes up at 4 o'clock, and first pitch tonight, 5:05, Mariners at the Texas Rangers. Bryce Miller going for the Mariners, Mackenzie Gore for the Rangers tonight. And this is either the start of something phenomenal, or this is the start of a collapse. This series, I think, means the world for the 2026 Seattle Mariners season.
I don't think it's the end of the world, but this could start teetering either in a positive way or a negative way. I mean, they really are on a teeter-totter right now. They really haven't. They're a 500 ball club, just one game under.
And they're a half game behind the Rangers.
They haven't shown anything yet. Mm-hmm. There's been nothing that has taken them over the top to say, hey, man, these guys are really, really good. I mean, they look good some games and they look terrible. I think there's more error that they've committed this year than I've seen in the last 2 years, 3 years. I mean, it's unprecedented, really. And then our pitching has really been suspect, especially Gilbert, Kirby, Miller. Mm-hmm. All those three guys have really, really struggled. Castillo, every once in a while, but I think he's been better than not. Hancock, I mean, he's a good player, but he's young, good pitcher. And you've got Brian Wu.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done very, very well. So I don't know. This team and the hitting is definitely subpar now. Well, they are not hitting the ball.
Cal is having a horrendous year. Bad. And he's the guy who's carried their offense for the last couple of years. But I sit here and I'm seeing a lot of rumblings online right now about maybe the Mariners just need to cut bait and trade some guys and start looking towards next year. The Major League Baseball trade deadline comes up at the end of this month. Then you have another month, the month of August. You can still trade guys, but they have to go through waivers first. So it's a little more complicated. Okay. But looking ahead at the Mariners schedule, they got four in Texas, which is going to really define, are you a first place team or are you not? I think. And then, of course, they got to travel to Los Angeles to play the Dodgers. They finished out this month at home with Minnesota. Going into next month, August is going to be hot for the Mariners. You got Detroit coming to town after the Twins leave. And then you get the Tampa Bay Rays in Seattle, one of the hotter teams in baseball. The Yankees, who need to win, chasing the Rays in New York following that one. Then you go to Houston, Milwaukee, one of the top teams in the National League, come home to face the Cubs, the Phillies, and then head out to Toronto for the Blue Jays and the Red Sox to finish out the month of August.
Yeah, that's a very difficult schedule when they're playing the way they are.
There is no
let up
group of games where you're going to sit there and go, we should dominate this team.
No, they'll be lucky to win one out of two the way that they've been playing right now, unless something crazy happens. I mean, do you fire your hitting coach? I mean, I don't know what's supposed to happen here.
And that's the trick is right now we are starting a trend. And if you are able to take three out of four from Texas this weekend, establish yourself in first place. You're not going to need to be highly above 500 to win the American League West this year. And once you get to the playoffs, it could be a whole different animal.
You know, they played the Giants this last weekend and lost the first game a week ago, 7-0. Mm-hmm. The first game out of the All-Star break. It's like, whoa. And then they won the next two and they looked halfway decent. Then the Reds come in, they win the first game and then they lose the next two. So, I mean, I don't even know where this team is right now. And I hate to be overly critical, but it's like, my gosh, they just haven't been able to put it together like they have the last couple of years. It doesn't look like there's any mojo, momentum, or anything.
There's going to have to be a lot of front office decisions basing, because if they can play 500 ball through the month of August and kind of maintain that lead and hope Texas doesn't get hot, the month of September, they get the A's at home. They have the Rangers at home. Then they go to Sacramento to play the A's. Then they go to the Angels, then they go to the Rockies, and then they come home to finish out the season against the Astros and the Angels. So that's a month of winnable games right there, but you need to be in the position to make that final run. And that's where the front office has a lot of decisions to make in the next few weeks.
I think they have to be 500 at the end of August or above. I think they really need to be above 500, at least by five games. You've got to be there.
Well,
and that schedule is not going to be conducive for that even happening.
Well, because of the way the trade deadlines through Major League Baseball, I literally look at it and say, you need to win at least three of four of Texas right now.
Agreed.
Starting today. And that's coming up pretty soon. So we should probably take that last break.
Okay, let's do that. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
Here we are, Sports Ticket, final segment before we pass things over to Rick Riz and the Mariners baseball broadcast crew. And we just talked about that. Big game today.
Yeah. This, like I said, these next four games are really going to do a lot to determine the direction of the Mariners the rest of the year.
This segment being brought to you by Auto Team Service Center, a better way to maintain your car down there on McGilchrist, the street that's so beautiful now.
It's one of those nice open streets this time.
If you haven't been there, you'll be amazed.
Well, I sit here and go, you know, traffic advisory for the weekend. Remember, Hoopla is happening downtown, so there are closed roads all around the Capitol.
You know, if you want to know what a really smooth road feels like, because it's probably the only one in this town. That's the one.
That's the one.
It's super smooth.
So if you need to drive and just go out cruising, maybe go down McGillcrest instead of down Court Street. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right.
You'll interfere with some basketball games and try and drive down Court Street today.
Nice paved street. No holes yet. Anyways, all right. Well, we got a lot going on. Yeah, hoopla's going on downtown this weekend, and it should be a lot of fun.
I would recommend anybody that wants to get out. The weather sounds like it's going to be perfect, mid to upper 70s, basketball, food, drinks. I mean, the whole thing, there will be thousands of people downtown. You can just go wander that thing and enjoy, and I guarantee you will see people you know.
Absolutely. And hey, by the way, I mean, speaking of weather, we did have some inclement weather a couple of days ago, which kind of screwed up our whole signal coming from the office or the station over here in Kaiser down to our towers on Corden and State Street. And I think lightning had a little impact on that. So we're still in the process of still trying to figure out, you know, that thing. So just want to let you know, just bear with us. You know, there might be some glitches in the matrix somewhere.
A little bit of ironing out going on right now.
Yep.
But I think we're going to come back bigger, stronger, and better and faster than anything you can think of.
Make KYKN great again.
And we don't even need steroids to do it. Come on.
Right.
All right. Also, of course, we are about 6 weeks out from the start of our high school football and duck football schedule. We got Mariners almost every day going into that. So we got a lot going on over here. That I look forward to, because this is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, me too. It's going to get really busy, but it's a fun busy, and we get excited about all this stuff. Sports is great.
Yep.
School's going to be back in, so parents, you get to, you know, be happy about that, yeah. I think, depending on what school they're going to. But
And we're keeping Mike and Charlie real, real busy right now as they're going through the high school football schedule to get that ironed out and set up. You know, of course, we are the affiliate of the Ducks, so maybe this year's championship run, follow them right here on KYKN. Right?
Absolutely. All right, thanks for listening to the Sports Ticket. The Mariners are on the other side. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.